Jesus says that his disciples should expect to experience hostility. Jesus says that his disciples, and that will now include you and I, should expect to experience hostility from the world. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus tells his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion to prepare to be hated, to be ready to be hated by the world. The very first words in verse 18 are, "If the world hates you." That's a strong word, isn't it? So far, chapters 14 and 15 of John have been more about love. We just sang it, right? God so loved the world that he gave us. Jesus has been preparing his followers for his departure. And for the most part, he's been giving them comfort. He's told them he's going away to prepare a place for them, comforting. And he's told them that he's coming back for them. That's comforting. And he's told them that he is their way to the Father, and that through them they know the Father. That's comforting. Jesus has told them that they're going to do greater things because he's going to the Father. That's comforting. He's told them that he's going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the advocate, the alongsider, the counselor, to be with them and to be in them forever. They are not alone. That's comforting. And they're going to be loved. So loved. Loved by the Father, loved by the Son, loved by the Spirit, three in one. The Spirit reminding them of everything the Son has taught them all along and giving them peace. Remember that? The gift of his peace. Not just the peace that the world gives that's here today and gone tomorrow, but his peace. And he's promised to answer their prayers and give them life and producing life in them like a vine to its branches. How comforting is that? And Jesus has told them that they are his, what was the word last time? Friends. That's what we saw last time in the Gospel of John. Jesus has called you and me his friends. He says he's chosen us and appointed us, and he's going to die for us. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, he says. That's love. That's comforting. Love, love, love. And he says that we are called to love each other. The vine wants the branches to love the other branches. How many times in this one evening has he said to them, love one another? We just said it in our memory verse. We sang it last Sunday at the end of the Malawi team report. They will know we are Christians by our love. It's ringing out of verse 17. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other. Love each other. Love each other. That's our theme for the whole year. But then in verse 18, the first verse Keegan read to us, in verse 18, he speaks of hate. If the world hates you. There's a lot about hate in this next section. But notice that all the hate runs one direction. It's the world that does the hating. Jesus is preparing his disciples for the hate that is going to come their way very soon from the world. And we should take note because we can expect it too. Now that doesn't mean that all we can expect is hate from the world. There will be times of relative peace. Even in the book of Acts, when this all first was fulfilled, all this was first playing out, there are times when the church experienced some favor in the eyes of the world. But the general expectation is hostility. The world is not neutral about Christians because it is not neutral about Christ. And that's the first and most important thing that Jesus wants his disciples to understand when they experience this hate. They're not alone. Verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you experience hostility from the world, by the way, the world here is the human system of the world, sinful humanity united together, working together against God, not the world as in the earth, but the world system that Jesus came into and for, but who rejected him. Remember that from the very first chapter of John, the prologue? The Word was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. If you experience hostility from that world, you're not the first. The world hated Jesus first. In fact, that's why the world hates you. It's not really about you. It's about him. I have 3 points this morning to summarize the teaching of this passage, and this is the first and biggest one. If the world hates you, you are hated with Jesus. You're hated with Jesus. And that's a good thing. It's good because you're not alone. Someone else has gone through this before you, and by the Spirit is going through it with you even now. And it's good because it means you're doing it right. I don't know about you, but whenever the Christian life gets kind of hard, I tend to think I must be doing it wrong. Right? Oh no, the world hates me. What am I doing wrong? What can I do to fix this? But Jesus tells us that this hate is going to flow towards us, and it's not because we're doing it wrong, but because we are connected to him. Look at verse 19. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. See, we used to be in the world. Now he's grabbed us, pulled us out of the world. And the world's like, we hate that you've left us. Right? He says, that is why the world hates you. It's not because you're doing it wrong, but because you're doing it right. You are with the right one. Because you belong to Jesus now and the world hates Jesus, it's going to hate you. Now, by the way, make sure this is the reason why the world hates you and not because you act like a total idiot. Make sure that the world hates you because you act like Jesus. Make sure that you abide in Jesus and produce much fruit. We want the world to hate us because of our love and our joy and our peace and our patience and our kindness and our goodness and our gentleness and our faithfulness and our self-control. If the world hates you because you're angry, unloving, contentious, impatient, rude, mean, and out of control, that's not on Jesus. That's on you. And cut it out. But if we are abiding, remaining, dwelling in Jesus, that will not safeguard us from the world's hate. It will actually attract it to us. Act like Jesus, get treated like Jesus. The world will hate it that you left it for Jesus, like a spurned lover. And so you will experience the hate that it has for Jesus. We will not escape the hate. Why would we think we would? Verse 20, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. What a number of Christians have experienced in America for the last 2 centuries has been an anomaly. There's been quite a bit of favor shown to Christians in our culture. And we can be grateful for that and steward it well whenever it comes our way. Daniel is a great example of a believer who at times was shown favor by the world. Great example for us. But not the rule. The Apostle Paul said, here's the rule. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Our Lord Jesus said that no servant, that's us, is greater than his master, that's him. So if they persecuted him, and they did, they killed him, they will persecute us too. Notice, however, that he also says that if they obeyed his teaching, and some of them did, they came over out of the world into his people, they will obey ours as well. So that gives us hope that there will be times when the haters will change and become the lovers. But don't think that you're above this. Don't think, well, I'm a Christian, I'm just going to float right on through. Don't think that you, as a follower of Jesus, can be expect to be celebrated by the world as a follower of Jesus. I think this is especially appropriate for back to school Sunday, when all these Christian students, teachers, administrators, helpers, aides, bus drivers head back into various situations among the world. Did you notice that like a majority of our people stood this morning? A lot of our people spend their day involved in school. You will not always be celebrated for belonging to Jesus. You may very well experience hate. Don't take it personally. Verse 21 says, they will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. It's not really about you and me. It's about him. It's about his name, it says. Remember, his name is where we find life, right? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in Jesus' name. Well, you will also have persecution in Jesus' name. It's about Jesus. It's about his Father. For they do not know the one who sent me, he says. In fact, they rejected him. They didn't want to know about him. And so they will be judged. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. Now, he doesn't mean that they would have no sin whatsoever. We all have sin. He's saying that if he had not come in the flesh and walked among them and taught among them, they would not have rejected him in the flesh. But he did, and they did. And there was no excuse. They hated him, and they hated his Father. Verse 23, he who hates me hates my Father as well. That's really important. Some people say that they love God, they just don't believe in Jesus. That's not true. If you reject Jesus, you're rejecting his Father as well. Do you feel all the hate here? They hate the Son. They're on their way to kill him. They hate his Father. That's why they hate you. Verse 24. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they've seen these miracles, and yet they've hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Jesus is not surprised by this hate. And neither should we be. It was predicted 1,000 years before he came on the scene. Jesus here is quoting Psalm 69, which we're going to study this coming Wednesday night at prayer meeting. 1,000 years before Jesus was born, the Old Testament was predicting his suffering and death and his persecution. If you're hated by the world, don't be surprised. You're in good company. You are hated with Jesus and with his Father. Today, somebody's going to say, what was the sermon about today? It was about hate. Went to church and heard a sermon on hate. Yes, you did. But remember, the hate's only supposed to flow one direction. What should we do if we find ourselves hated by the world? Don't be surprised. Be grateful to be in good company. But what else? What should you do if the world hates you? Should you hate them back? Should you fight fire with fire? Should you whine and complain about being mistreated on social media? Should you write your congressperson? Should you make sure you vote for the candidates for public office that promise to give you the most protection for living out your Christian values the way you want to? You can vote for whomever your conscience directs you. But that's not where Jesus goes here. Jesus says that we need to testify. If the world hates you, then speak up for Jesus. Speak up for Jesus. Look at verse 26. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit once again. Verse 26. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Remember this? Jesus is going to ask the Father to send the Spirit to come alongside us and even to be in us. He calls him the Paraclete, right? Remember that word? It means the advocate or the comforter or the one who comes alongside, the alongsider. That's not really a word, but we'll use it, right? He calls him the Counselor. And he says the Father's going to do it. He's going to send the Spirit just like the Son asked. He's going to pour out his Spirit. When did that happen? At Pentecost, right? And the Spirit is going to come, and what's he going to talk about? When the Spirit shows up, he shows up talking. And what's he going to talk about? The weather? He's going to talk about the Son. The Spirit always testifies about the Son. He says, about me, Jesus says. You notice that the Holy Spirit loves to point the spotlight on Jesus. The Spirit's main ministry is to shine a spotlight on the Son. Wherever the Spirit shows up, the Son, Jesus, gets glorified. Do you see the Trinity here in this passage? One verse? God is three persons. We're talking about this at Family Bible Week, right? The Son sending the Spirit to the disciples. The Spirit going out from the Father, who also has sent the Son. And the Spirit testifying about the Son. Three in one. And when the Holy Spirit comes, what is the church supposed to do? We're supposed to testify as well. Verse 27. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The 11 disciples, the remaining 11 disciples, had been with Jesus since the start. And when the Holy Spirit shows up, they're supposed to talk about Jesus and talk about Jesus and never stop talking about Jesus, even if they start to be killed for talking about Jesus. Jesus is preparing them to die if they need to. And most of the men in that room will eventually die because they spoke up for Jesus. And we need to be ready to die for him as well. And we need to speak up for Jesus, even if they come at us with guns. Now that's easy to say, hard to do. And we need to pray for wisdom and discernment about how and when and what to say. But we also need to be bold, because Jesus is worth it. He died for us, and we need to speak up for him. We need to tell the world what we know about him. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. I got to speak on that passage yesterday at a memorial service and tell all the people there, from whatever background they came in, there's only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus and him alone. We need to tell people what we know about Jesus. He's the bread of life. He's the only satisfaction for our souls. He's the light of the world. If you don't have him, you stumble in darkness. He's the gate for the sheep. You want abundant life, you got to come through him. He's the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep only to take it back up again, because he is the resurrection and the life. And he is the true vine. We know the truth about Jesus, and we need to testify that truth to the world. And if they reject Jesus, that's on them. But we need to speak up for him, even if they hate us for it. That's hard to do. It's easy for me to get up here on a Sunday with all of you smiling at me. Okay, smile at me. Okay, just. It's easy for me to say all these things about Jesus. Everybody's nodding at everything I say. I'm glad you do. But they aren't nodding at us out in the world. They don't want to hear what Jesus says about a whole lot of things. They don't want to do what Jesus says to do with their money, with their bodies, with their relationships, with their words, with their hearts. We hardly want to sometimes, and we belong to him. And they're going to get mad when we tell them about Jesus. But Jesus says, verse 27, you also must testify. Now, you don't do it on your own. I'm so glad we don't do it on our own. He says the Holy Spirit is there testifying inside you and through you. He'll provide the power. But you still have to step out in faith and speak up about Jesus and not stop and not run away. That's the third and last point. If the world hates you, don't fall away from Jesus. Look at verse 1 of chapter 16. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. The Greek word there means it's skandalizomai, right? Scandal, to trip or fall. It means to not stumble or trip up. Jesus is letting the disciples, he's telling them how hard it will be so they will not bail on him when the going gets rough. And it's going to get rough. Look at verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. That happened. It didn't take long after Jesus predicted it for it to happen. Think about Stephen. He's telling people about Jesus, and the Jews picked up rocks to throw at him. Do you ever think about what stoning is? They picked up enough rocks and they threw the rocks at him so that he died. And there was a guy there with them named Saul who was holding their coats for the guys who were holding the rocks. And they all said, "We're offering a service to God." They thought they were doing something righteous by killing Stephen, by killing this man who was talking about Jesus. And it happens in our world today. Not so much in this country at this point, but lots of places around this world, Christians are killed in the service of many gods. And of course, it's not just killed. Jesus says that we may be ostracized, put out of the synagogue. How hard that would have been to accept. The synagogue was the center of their communal life. How'd you like to be kicked out of the center of your community? You're not welcome here anymore because you're with Jesus. You might get dirty looks, snide comments, put out of the in-group. You might lose a job or be denied a promotion or a scholarship. You might not get an important sale or lose someone's business. You might lose your spouse if they can't stand you talking about Jesus. You might be ridiculed or accused of things you have not done to smear mud on your reputation. Or you may be jailed or tortured or killed. Verse 3, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. Remember, it's not you, it's Jesus. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. They were safe when he was still there. Nobody could touch Jesus. They weren't going to take any of his boys. But he's now going away, and the hate will come raining down. And he wants them to be ready so they don't run away. Jesus does not tell us all of this to scare us. He told us all this so we're ready and steady, so that we would remain, so that we would abide. This is still in chapter 15 of John, right? It's all about remaining in the vine. Don't break off. Don't stumble. Don't fall away. Don't bail. Stay connected to Jesus, the vine. Don't fall away when the going gets rough. Because he did not fall away. He was ready to go all the way to the cross for you and me. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Jesus first. So we aren't alone. We aren't surprised. And we aren't scared, as scary as it is. And we don't fall away. But instead, we tell everyone what Jesus did for us. Amen?